Okay, we're in the Gemara, Sanhedrin, Mem Amid Beis, 40b. We're still in the middle of discussing how do we know that there are seven questions that we ask for the Chakira. Briefly, we brought three primary sources, which was dealing with an Ir HaNidachas, a city that everyone's worshiping idols, an individual worship idols, and Edim Zomimim, where we had extra verbiage of 3 plus 2 plus 2 ways of discussing to ask questions, which came out to 7. Gemara then asks, how can you learn? And we apply them all to each other. Gemara says, how can you learn one from each other? Each one has a stringency, the other doesn't have. So we say it's a gzeirah shava mufne, an extra gzeirah shava. It says, heitev, 3 times, and therefore we're going to apply everything to those things. However, the issue with the last thing we discussed yesterday was, what's the type of death penalties that these three areas of the Torah discussed? And we said it was stoning and
fire, and the sword,
and beheading, was those two. Then Gemara said, well, how do you know other types of death punishments that will also give the people, the fellow, the 7 inquiries, so therefore he has a chance to get off? So Gemara said, kal vachomer, a fortiori argument. Since Skila, remember we said of the 4 death penalties, Skila was the most severe. What's next?
Fire.
What's next? Beheading. What's next? Strangulation. So basically, Gemara is saying, once you know Skila, even though we also threw in beheading, once you know Skila, then the others from Kal Vachomer, we would know that. Okay, so now we're good. We have the source, clearly at least, for stoning. And for beheading, clearly, we see the 7 questions. And we said, by Kal Vachomer, you know the others. And now we know how all types of death penalty, they get the 7 questions. Now, there is a bit of a problem. Now, in 2 chapters from now, we'll see where the primary machlokas is over here. But now the Gemara is going to bring it up to us. So now the Gemara answers. This is all good and well. According to the rabbis, their opinion is the Amri Skila Chamura. They say that stoning is the most severe punishment. So everything fine, it works out well, we make Kal Vachomer and everything. However, this is a machlokes. What is the order of the severity of the capital punishments? El Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, the Amr Sreifa Chamura, that burning the person is a more severe punishment. Now we have a problem. Mi ikalamemer, what's there to say? If burning is a more severe punishment, and the Torah only told us a leniency that by stoning we go through 7 questions, we try hard to get the guy off the hook, but maybe a more severe crime that gets the more severe capital offense, maybe we wouldn't give him 7 questions. So how do we know they don't have a Kal Vachomer anymore? All right. Okay, so let's just say this part over here. In our discussion, we have seen that the court must examine witnesses who accuse someone of committing the capital offense of idolatry, which is punishable by stoning. Now, stoning is the most severe of capital punishments, as the rabbis maintain. It's understandable why those people accused of a less severe offense, including one who would be liable for burning, receive the same benefits of the questioning as those liable for stoning. According to Reb Shimon, burning is the more severe punishment than stoning. How then would we derive that someone liable for burning also receives the benefit of having the accusing witness examined with the 7 questions? Right? So we don't have a Kal Vachomer anymore. So how do we know burning? We still would know what? We still would know strangulation. Strangulation, because it's the least of the 4. So everybody would agree to that. So the only problem is, how would we know burning, according to Reb Shimon, that burning is the severest capital crime? How would we know that from this text? Yes?
Oh, he just hold up the same Kal Vachomer with Sreifa. Oh, because we know Sreifa, now we know Skila.
You don't know Sreifa.
No, Sreifa's not written in the
Don't have Sreifa. Okay. Remember, we only could take those 3 where it talks about the line of questioning. Mm-hmm. Right? That was those 3 particular Veros, and the punishment for them is only Skila and Sayif and beheading. I don't know burning. You have to ask all those questions. Okay. That's the problem. So now we're going to have to go back into those same psukim and extract a little bit more. We had We had seven words. Now Rabbi Yehuda is going to come along and extract a bit more out of all this. We'll see how he does this. Got to be patient here. Ela Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, those psukim who talk about the subverted town and an individual accused of idolatry, let's take a look. And we're going to go back into those psukim and look a little more and fish out a couple more words for us to use over here, as we will see. It says like this. There's an extra clause we didn't bother to look at. It says, Vihine emes nachon. Vihine emes nachon. If indeed it be truly correct. Firm, okay, firm. If indeed it be truly firm. The words truly firm. Emes nachon. In each verse denote two more questions. Four in all, in addition to seven already derived. Because, you know, obviously, emes, if it's true. I mean, you could say the darash v'chakarta, right? So those seem to be another two words of describing a line of questioning. Because how do you know it's true? How do you know it's true? You ask questions. That's how you find out it's true. So you have emes nachon by the city, by what did we say? By the city that gets destroyed, the subverted town. And also by an individual idolatry. It's just two more words of emes nachon. You can just say, you know, if a place did this. You know, the Torah says, if you hear about a place.
See it before.
No, Gemara didn't, the Gemara, for whatever reason, didn't choose those words as words of questioning. Gemara now, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, these two words we can also assume are words of questioning. All right? So now you've got, you had seven, now you got four more. All right, now what do we get now? Hachatzre. Now we're up to 11.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to have 11 questions over here. So now what are we going to do? So let's see how we're going to use the 11 now. So now this, you'll see. Yesterday we said you had seven, right?
Yeah.
And three times Heitev doubled as a question and as Xerishava Mufna, an extra word. And Sam was kind of not so happy about that. So now you're going to see, you're going to like this one better, Sam. So we got 11 of these words. So Sheva will take seven, L'Sheva Chakiris, for the seven questionings. That's okay, I got seven for that. Dal Klas, now take three, those three Heitaves, and use them for the Xer Shava to make them totally. So they don't double as a question and also the extra word for Xer Shava. So I'm up to 10, right? You follow? The Xerah Shava could not be expound unless the Torah left the common word free in all three verses. Hence, the three mentions of Heitev are subtracted from the 11 allusions to questions for purpose of expounding the Xerah Shava once everything else. So, it's funny how the Gemara 4 didn't seem to think it was a problem doubling it, and now the Gemara is separating it. Okay, so what? But I got one extra now. Well, one extra is going to teach, has to teach me. What do you think the one extra is going to teach me? There are one now extra word of questioning remains. And that works out really good. L'Rib Shimon, so according to Rib Shimon, will now include those for burning. That's what the extra one is doing. If it's an extra word of questioning, so what are we going to use it for? So we'll use it for something that will help us in this law of capital crimes, which include someone who's supposed to get burnt. That will say that's the extra one that teaches us that. So that's how we include burning as well.
So the word hate we take away now. We don't use it anymore.
Right, we're not doubling it. Before, no. It seemed we doubled it. We used the word hate as a word that is one of the seven questions.
Right.
And we say, because remember we said it could have been worded differently. It could have said the dorosh, dorosh.
Yes.
So since it was worded in an unusual way, that leaves it open for explanation. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have to say that at all. We can just say it's a totally extra word and finished. It's a totally extra word. And now I've got left eight words of questioning. So seven I use for the same questions. Now that there's only seven, so the extra one is the teachers will apply everything to those who have to get burnt. However, still not out of the woods yet. Gemara now is going to ask a question. So now it comes out like this. According to the first answer, we said that the rabbi, according to the rabbis, there's one way to learn it. According to Reb Shimon, there's another way to learn it. According to the rabbis, you just use the seven expressions. That's it, seven expressions. How do we know to include burning? With a kal v'chomer. According to Reb Shimon, there is no kal v'chomer because burning is stricter. Says, well, we're going to have to come up with, we're going to say that there's four extra words of expressions. I take seven for the questions, three for the gzera shava, one is extra for burning. But the problem is, the rabbis that say the following, v'rabonon, okay, milsa, we know they have an interesting opinion over here. V'rabonon milsa da'asya v'kal v'chomer torach v'kosav la kra. According to the rabbis, who already have the idea that you could get from a kal v'chomer to learn stoning, but they say sometimes when there is a kal v'chomer, even though there's a kal v'chomer, the verse at times bothers to write something that could be derived otherwise through a kal v'chomer. In other words, there is an opinion that says, you know, even though you have a kal v'chomer, initially we say you have a kal v'chomer, that's how we learn from a kal v'chomer. There's a rabbanon hold, you know, even if you have a kal v'chomer, the Torah will go out of its way to explicitly state the other thing, so we don't have to come on to the kal v'chomer. So let's see what the commentary adds and what this does in a minute, as you'll see in 1 minute. According to Reb Shimon, the one last indication of questioning, but that last one, remember there's that extra one according to Reb Shimon? Teaches that even those who would be punished by what he considers the most severe form of execution, burning, receive the benefit of having their accusing witnesses examined with seven questions. That's what's version. According to the rabbis, though, this requirement could have been derived without a specific scriptural indication, because they maintain that burning is less severe than stoning. Right? So they have a kal v'chomer, right? Yeah. So this extra one they wouldn't be using for that, right? They could therefore derive logic through a kal v'chomer that if witnesses against those who would be punished by the most severe death of stoning are examined with seven questions, so the witnesses against those who would be punished by burning receive the same treatment. Nevertheless, so you could ask, if you're gonna say you have 11, right, what would the rabbis do with that extra one? They don't have to include burning. You don't need that for burning because they have a kal v'chomer anyway, right? So it comes out you get this extra one. According to Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation, he says it's 11. There are two ways to look at it. Is it just 7 or 11? See, if you say there's 11, so what am I doing with the 11? 7 for the questions, 3 for Xer Shava. I got one extra one. Rabbi Shimon, why do you want one extra one? Well, I don't know burning yet. So then I'll use that for burning, right? According to rabbis who say that stoning is more severe than burning, what am I going to do with the extra one? I got one still extra. What am I going to do with that? Nevertheless, the rabbis would not be concerned that this last indication is questioning superfluous, since the Torah at times does allude to rulings that could otherwise have been derived logically through a kal v'chomer. That's the rabbanon. We could say that's how we get out of it. There's some rabbis say, well, you have a kal v'chomer, a kal v'chomer. There's also an opinion that says, even if I could logically make a kal v'chomer, still the Torah would say it anyway, an extra one, just to make it absolutely clear. There's such an opinion. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is suggesting. In other words, the rabbis got that extra one. You really don't have to use it. You have a kal v'chomer. So no, sometimes the Torah will say it anyway, even though I can get a kal v'chomer. And that's how we will work it out according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's all Rabbi Yehuda now explaining how it works out. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're now rejecting the first opinion that says it's only 7. Rabbi Yehuda, we have to figure out Rabbi Shimon. So once we have to figure out Rabbi Shimon already, we come up with a whole new understanding. There's 11 types of words of questioning. 7 for the 7 questions, 3 for the Gzeira Shava. The one extra one, according to Reb Shimon, is to teach me burning, which I wouldn't know otherwise. According to Chachamim, what are you going to do with that one extra one? You have a kal v'chomer, you don't need an extra one. No, the Torah will sometimes write it anyway, even though I could have used a kal v'chomer, the Torah is going to, doesn't matter, the Torah is going to allude to it anyway. Well, because kal v'chomer, you're right, but sometimes you could break a kal v'chomer. You know, you have a kal v'chomer now. What about in a later generation to go and break the kal v'chomer? So that we'll use the pasuk already and won't bother with the kal v'chomer. That's what he answered. This is what Rabbi Yehuda is positing. And that's how we will explain this according to rabbis and according to Chachamim. However, Rabbi Abo did not like what he said at all. No, here's the focal point. That 11th one, according to the rabbis, seems to be extra. So Kemal Yehuda, well, you know, I know we had a kal v'chomer, but he just wrote it anyway, because it's not so unusual to write it. Rabbi Abo did not like that answer. Megadev bo rabo. Very strong language. Rabo attacked. Really, Megadev means curse. But attacked that answer, that interpretation. Why do you want to say that that extra one, we just use it anyway? No, really, really, let's be honest. There is a Kal Vachomer, right? So you got an extra one. So you know what we could do? Why don't you consider this possibility? Ema, let's say, La Suye Shmona Chagiros, to say there's eight questions. Right? In other words, we were saying, why are there seven questions? Well, there's seven words of questioning.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. But really, according to rabbis, they could use the Kal Vachomer, and they got an extra one. So now let's say there's eight questions according to the Chachamim. Follow? I guess the questioner feels it's more reasonable to say there's eight questions. How do we know there's seven questions? Well, because we're deducing it from the Torah. Well, once we're doing that array, so let's say there's eight questions. Of course, you got to think what's going to be the eighth question. But that's coming up in a minute. But let's just say there's eight questions and not seven questions. Rabbi Avol questions why Rehuda says, according to Rabbi Shimon, oh, better yet. Oh, he's even asking Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, even Rabbi Shimon. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, the last third comes to include prohibited punishment by burning. Rabbi Shimon should use it instead to add an eighth question to those asked of witnesses in case of a less severe form of execution. And you won't know by burning, let's say. Maybe burning won't have eight. Maybe burning will have less. Maybe burning will have seven. That, in other words, why you're saying one versus the other, we're just assuming. In other words, why are you saying, oh, it's got to be seven questions. Now we've got to work our way around that. Why? Maybe it's eight questions. Maybe it's eight questions. So that's what we're saying. So that's his question. Maybe it's eight questions, and we don't know that people who have to get burnt would get all those questions. Maybe not. Why are you saying a woman? Maybe it could be a different way. You know, where are you starting from? Are you starting from, well, we know there has to be seven questions, we just have to find where in the Torah it says that? Or no, the Torah tells us all the questions, and we derive that there's seven questions. What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Right? But it seems, you know, well, let's see what the Torah says, and from that we can come to conclusions. So why are you saying, well, it's got to be seven questions, and burning is from the extra word of questioning? Let's just say the opposite. Let's say there's eight questions.
Right.
Why are you saying one way better than the other way? Let's just say there's eight questions. According to Rav Shimon, you know, burning wouldn't get eight questions. And do it that way. Why are you picking one over the other? Yeah.
Don't they, in a way, prejudge a little bit by knowing right away how many questions to ask?
Well, that's...
Why would they do that? I don't understand.
That's what the Gemara is asking. Why are you, like, saying it's only
sex? Prejudging already, does it not be stoning?
But you have to remember, the Mishnah...
So
you have to remember now. Okay, you have to remember now. The Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He writes the brief summary conclusions. Gemara is trying to say, well, how did Rabbi Yehuda get to there? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put the Mishnahs together. He says, okay, why do you know it's seven questions? Gemara says, how did you get that? Well, I'll tell you, we got it. That's it.
Okay.
Well, based on that, we could have said there's eight questions. We're asking, obviously we're not going to argue. We say there are seven, but why isn't there eight? Okay, it should be eight. If you're going with this logic, it should be eight. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. But then Gemara comes back, wait a minute, you're so smart, you even think there should be eight? Tell me. What kind of question would be an eighth question determining time and place? We've kind of exhausted it already, didn't we?
Yeah.
You remember what the seven questions were already?
Yeah.
Right? So Moore's not going to say, wait a minute, you want to say maybe there's eight questions? Go come up with an eighth question, please. Even some of the eight, we're already stretching it. Remember what year in the Shemitah cycle?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, okay, we stretched it, but how much more can you stretch it? Moore's going to ask, wait a minute. Ushmona Chakiras Viika. Could there be eight questions? Seven already very effectively have pinpointed what's going on.
Yeah.
Remember, these eight questions can only be regarding time and place. For Azama. So, Miika. Someone says, well, what's your problem? Aloma, why not ask an eighth question? We're back and forth here. What? Why not an eighth question? Okay. So, and what could be the eighth question? I'll tell you an eighth question. What part of the hour did the offense occur? Remember, we said part of the seven questions, day, month, day, and then we got to the hour. Third hour. All right, now how long is the third hour? At least an hour, no?
They don't know how to pinpoint
Well, we'll see. That's already the Gemara discussing that, right? But you could say, you know, maybe we disagree with that window. Okay, we'll see. But you could say, at what part of the hour did it occur? Rav Avo's objections thus sound. Rav Shimon should derive from the 8 available indications of questions what the witnesses are. In fact, ask 8 questions. The 7 lists our Mishnah. In addition, an 8th question pinpointing which part of the hour. Let's say 20 minutes after the hour, half past the hour. And look, v'tani nami ochi, and I'm going to show you a brisa that supports this idea. There's a brisa that says it. There's a brisa. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda didn't, Rabbi Nasi put the Mishnahs together. He didn't take that one when he made the Mishnahs, but there was a source. There's a Tanaic source that says this is really 8 questions. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, remember, who's trying to make everything work according to Rabbi Shimon, and he has these 11 expressions, right? So why does Rabbi Shimon use the last term to include punishment by burning? Let's say there's an 8th question. Okay, so now we got a solid question. Right? Gemara says, well, let's figure this out now. Okay, now we're going to get to what you were objecting over here. We can resolve this according to Abaye, Aliba de Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir. Okay, now here we got to go back to another thing, a little background. In order to properly understand the word's answer, we must be aware of an Amoraic dispute found in Pesachim that explains the dispute. In the Mishnah, the Tana Kama, identified now as Rabbi Meir, say that if witnesses disagree by more than an hour in their estimation of the time of the offense, their testimony is null. More than an hour, their testimony is null. Rabbi Yehuda stated that the discrepancy must be greater than 2 hours for this to be null. Okay? That's the Mishnah. Hold on. In Pesachim, the Gemara initially presents 2 versions of Abaye's explanation of this dispute. Even the dispute is utter dispute. In the first version, Rabbi Meir maintains that people are aware of the exact time of the day, while Rabbi Yehuda holds that they err by 1/2 hour. According to the second version, Rabbi Meir maintains that people mistake the correct time, but only minimally. Rabbi Yehuda holds that they can err by slightly more than an hour. Okay. The Gemara in Pesachim then presents Rava's view. According to Rabbi Meir, people can err by as much as almost 2 hours. Rabbi Yehuda places the margin of error at a bit less than 3 hours. That different opinion is how far the error can go. In its answer, Rabbo's objection, our Gemara will refer to these 3 explanations of our Mishnah. It's got a lot of different explanations of how much is this will go. So we're asking, let's say an 8th question. Well, yeah, but that's only if it's going to be a certain amount of time. We see when these machlokes are not offering a lot of time, except according to one opinion.
Yeah.
So I can hear, so that's good according to Abaye, a libet or a mayor, who Abaye, the opinion that explains how Abaye explains Rabbi Meir, to Amar who says, a person doesn't make a mistake at all. That was the first thing. Doesn't make a mistake at all. So now that could be one of the 8 questions. What time was it in the day? 20 minutes? 20 minutes.
Time, yeah.
There is an opinion. Okay, according to that opinion, you got to be exact.
Yeah.
Within a minute. Okay, so we could ask exactly what part of that hour. But according to the other 2 ways of learning the machlok, is that there's room for mistake in hours. And that's what our earlier Gemara was going like. But Ulahach Lishna, and according to that Lishna, Nami, the Umar Adam Toba Mashahu, and the other appears that the person will make a little bit of a mistake. Shaprit's also good, because if he still has the wrong part of the hour, that's more than a little mistake. So that's good according to those opinions. El Abaye Libid Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Abaye according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Umar Adam Toya Chatzi Shah, a person makes a mistake of 30 minutes, Ularavad Umar Tol Anshetuva, people make even more mistake, and that's normal. So what are you going to say, ask an 8th question for a 20-minute mistake? So my Ika Lamer, what would be your extra question? So now we're stuck. You say there should be an 8th question. Well, how can there be a question? According to some versions, you could have it, but not according to everybody. And you want to have an answer according to everybody. So what would be your 8th question? I'll take an 8th question. Now, this is a really far-fetched one. Elasuya Bekama Beyovel. The final question would be, in what year in the Yovel cycle did the incident occur? All right? In what year in the Yovel cycle? Not in the Shemitah cycle. Not in the Shemitah cycle. In the Yovel cycle. That's a bit of a stretch. you know.
50 years.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, yeah, it was. We already asked them what year in the Shemitah cycle it was. Right?
So if you already know
third
that,
year in the Shemitah cycle.
Well,
okay, but which cycle, which Shemitah cycle of the Yovel cycle was it? That's the eighth question. Gemara says, wait a minute. No, that's not good. Hainu Beis Yeshua. That's the same as asking in which 7 year Shemitah did it occur. We already asked that. We already did ask that. We already asked in what year in the Shemitah period, in which seven year Shemitah we asked. That's the same as asking what year in the Yovel. Kama B'Yovel means what year in the Yovel cycle. Was it year 37? That's the eighth question. What of the 49 years, which year was it? 37, 38? Yeah, but already the Gemara says can't say that because we already asked him which Shemitah cycle was it? That is one of the seven questions. We already asked which Shemitah cycle. Let's say six. Which year in Shemitah? 3. So that's obviously 38. So why the eighth question is to say 38? Hainu Beis Yeshua. That is. They've already been asked.
And if you knew that, you would know.
So he says, I'll tell you what. Do you know which one it is? It's not which year in the Yovel cycle. El Elasu. They say, which Yovel is it? Wow. Of the hundreds of Yovels. Which Yovel is it? Is the 40th Yovel the 40th? Oh, what's going on? So that's what he will do with this. What are the other guys going to do with it? So he's saying, okay, let it be eight questions. What question? Oh, which one of the Yovel cycles was it? Yovel cycle 42, 47. Yeah. The other guy who's going to say with an extra word, he says, Dreipmanichkankop. The other guy says, Kivan, the other Beishva, once already know which 7 year Shemitah cycle, Loboy Beishva, you don't have to ask anymore which Yovel cycle it is. And therefore, they're going to reject saying it's an eighth question, and they're going to go back to seven questions and include burning according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now. All right, we're going to stop it over here at the two dots. And now we're going to discuss the Machlokas 7 versus 3. Remember, there was another opinion mentioned. Rabbi Huda just said 3. Why does he say 3 while the Rabbanim say 7? That's going to be tomorrow's issue.